we get started on that, there's one thing our president, I'm sorry. I know he appreciated that. I'm finally pretty sure he appreciated that. Today, one thing our president did that was awesome, and I haven't heard this in quite a while since 9/11, and that was he proclaimed a National Day of Prayer for the Harvey victims. And so what we're going to do is right now, together, we're going to pray for Harvey victims. You know, it was just a few years ago that it was us. And I remember in Floyd, I remember going down Witches Beach Road. I called my father-in-law and said, he lived down Witches Beach Road, and I said, "You coming with us?" He said, "No, we'll be all right." I said, "You didn't hear me. You're coming with us." And so he said, "Okay." And so we got down there, and we drove down there, and as quickly as we could load everything up in the van, coming back, the water was already almost too deep to drive away. And so, again, and then also during that time, I remember in the parsonage, I remember going back in DC's room, and we were watching the rain and watching all these big old pine trees. And while we were watching the trees, we saw a pine tree start falling, a big old pine tree start falling right toward our house. And I just backed up and said, "Lord, you got this." That's all I could say was, "Lord, you got this." And I watched another breeze hit that tree, and it fell that way. It was coming down, and it was like it got picked up and pushed over and wound up landing on some light lines. We're still without power for 2 weeks, but praise God, I'd rather be without power for 2 weeks than without, you know, life down here to keep on working for God. Amen. I'd have been in a good place, but at the same time, it was, you know, not my time. Isn't God good? All the time. God is good. Got you. No, we're going to pray first. After we pray, then we're going to go right into this morning's service. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, there's nothing impossible for you, Lord. We know that all things are in your hands. Lord, we know, God, that even during this storm was in your hands. You were the one that stood up and rebuked the seas. You're the one that rebuked the winds. And, Father, I don't understand why this stuff comes upon us, except for I know that every time it does, it always brings out the best in everybody. And Lord, I thank you for that, that the best has been brought out and people quit looking at color and looking at race and they just help each other. And I thank you for that. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mightily, Lord, to each and every victim, Lord, quickly and let them see your hand and your power in the name of Jesus. We know, God, you've got this. And Father, again, we don't know all the ifs, ands, and buts, but you do, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the cleansing that takes place during this. And when disaster strikes, it does bring our, like David said, before I went astray, I forgot your word. But now that tragedy has hit me, now I'm going back to your word. And I'm glad that I was stricken with tragedy because it brought me back to your word. I thank you, God, that it's helping us to get over some of this racial divide and some of this other divide, Lord, and pull together. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to each and every one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. I've got two precious, I mean precious people. My son may not recognize them because I'm sure they didn't recognize D.C. And they never saw Bethany. So I don't think you ever saw Bethany. Okay. So two of the most precious people in the entire world. His dad was probably one of my greatest fellows to work with, except for that one time. When he and I were standing in the parsonage, and I stepped on our dog, and our dog said, "Good land." I kid you not, it was a border collie mixed with English Shepherd. It said, "Good land." And his dad said, "Did he just say good land?" I said, "Yes, it's better than good fall." Amen, you're good land. So somebody walked up, and we were going to tell him what the dog said. So you ain't going to believe this. And his dad said, I said, "He stepped on me. I stepped on him when I did." His dad said, and he said, "Stupid man." That was hilarious. Amen. Hilarious. Amen. So Glenn and Carrie Paramore, I want y'all to stand up and just say, both of you, stand up and say whatever you want to say. Say hello, goodbye. Say, "I'm glad to be," whatever. You say something. They're ministers too. They're ministers. I was his intern pastor. We've had a lot of good times together. Go ahead, bro. Y'all go ahead. Whoever wants to go first. Love you too, bro. Ain't it fun to be put on the spot? Amen. Yeah, I did happen to read this story. It was really kind of powerful story. These two kids were talking to each other. One says, "I'm really worried. My dad works 12 hours a day to give me a nice home and good food. My mom spends the whole day cleaning and cooking for me. I'm worried sick." The other kid says, "What you got to worry about? Sounds to me like you got it made." The first kid said, "Yeah, but what if they escape?" You'll get in a minute. When y'all go out, you'll go, "Oh, that was funny." Amen. Some of us are listening to it now going, "That ain't funny now, and it won't be funny tomorrow." Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. God is so awesome. Somebody move my book of Hebrews. Yeah, that's right. That's when we got married. My wife told me, she said, "You're going to brew the coffee every morning." I said, "Why am I got to brew it?" She says, "Biblical. He does all the coffee making." I said, "Where does it say that?" She said, "He wrote a whole book about it called Hebrews." I know they're getting lamer and lamer, aren't they? I'll quit while I'm behind. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Then just flip over one page, back up one page. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he had condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith." Father, stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well and on the throne. Father, I know, God, that everything is in your hands, is working out. Lord, whether we see it or not, Lord, we know, God, things that we see as a setback, Lord, we have to understand that it could be a setup, that you're getting ready to do something in our life. And I thank you, God, that when a woman is in the middle of getting ready to give birth, that's the most painful time in that travail, but she forgets about it afterwards. And the same way, some of us right now are having birthing pains and don't even realize it, that something great is coming. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to move beyond and hold on to your hand all the way through. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. The way down, get somebody a high five, low five, no five, three and a half, three and a quarter. And tell them that God is moving in a powerful way. Trust him. The power of one. Remember last week I read this. I look at this every day. I have this in my office. I look at it every day. And it's, I'm only one, but still I'm one. I can't do everything, but still I can do something. I will not refuse to do something I can do. Helen Keller. Everybody remember Helen Keller? She was from an infant, was blind, deaf, and dumb, and learned to be a prolific speaker and writer. God's got a very powerful hand on us if we'll just let him use us. Amen. So now we're going to talk about the power of one. We're going to talk about Noah today. Somebody say Noah. Amen. "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with such that great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does us easily ensnares us, trips us up, gets caught around our feet. It just keeps us from running the way we should." So now, I think there's only one slide from last week, and here it is. The problem. The problem that all of us face. We grow faint in our mind before we grow faint in our actions. Think about this thing now. Usually, by the time you've actually quit, By the time you've actually thrown in the towel, by the time you've actually decided this is it, I'm not going to try anymore, you have already been fighting this in your mind. It's already been a mind thing. You're trying to work it out in your mind and reason in your mind why you're having so many problems and why is it so tough. If God called me, then why am I having such a problem? If God is with me, then why am I running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock? And so we start getting weary in our mind. And as we start getting weary in our mind, pretty soon it moves into action. And we just will lay down and stop. So here's the push here. God wrote this for us, specifically for us. He said there's a great cloud of witnesses. And if you go back into chapter 11, you see all these people that were up against insurmountable odds, and they had all this stuff going against them, but every last one of them wound up being productive and wound up producing fruit for God in a very powerful way. You just have to trust Him. So we just looked at verse 7. It said, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his family and the saving of generations after generations of after generations, because he carried the seed within him. Some of y'all in here right now do not understand why you're going so much, not realizing you're carrying the seed for future generations. And the seed that you're carrying, you may not see it come to fruition with the next child or the grandchild, but the great-grandchild may wind up being somebody who discovers a cure for cancer or a cure for AIDS. You never know this stuff. You're carrying the seed. Every last one of us are so potent right now with seed. And God wants to use us. Maybe not with a physical seed of having childbirth, but maybe it's the seed of something you say to somebody or something that you do to somebody, some way you lift up somebody, encourage them. And God can use you in a very powerful, powerful way. So here we're going to talk about Noah. Now Noah, I like old Noah, don't y'all? When you say old Noah, you really mean it. Oh, Noah. Amen. God didn't call a young man. God called an old man. Praise God. God didn't use a young man. God used an old man. Some of y'all with the gray hair ought to raise your hand. Some with no hair ought to raise both hands. Amen. Let's look at here in Genesis. Chapter 6. Praise God. If God isn't awesome, there ain't no such thing as awesome. Amen. So we're going to look at verse 6. And actually verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and all the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. Come on, y'all. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here's the generations of Noah, and we'll go through and we'll talk about this a little bit later. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, which means, look, it's not something that he earned, but that he loved God. And so God said, because I was going to destroy everybody, but now that I see somebody here that's willing, then I'm going to look out for them and I'm going to use them in a very powerful, powerful way. So here we go. The power of one. Don't fall for the lie that one person cannot make a difference. All powerful movements began with the actions of individuals striving for change. Your actions can count or be the change. I like this little saying, be the change that you want to see. Amen? We all can make a difference. We all can do things if we just trust God and know that He's got our back. Amen? So here we are. We're talking about Noah, okay? So look, how many know this? Satan is the destroyer. The Bible tells us that he's the accuser of the brethren. How many's heard in your mind just today? Matter of fact, how many's heard in your mind at communion? You're not. Don't raise your hands. Don't point. How many heard in your mind today when we were talking about communion, you're not worthy to take communion? How many today, when communion was coming up, you heard, I don't deserve what he done for me because of the stuff I have done? You know what's going on? The accuser of the brethren is talking to you. You know, if you got your TV turned on, I can turn it on 7.3 and I wanted to watch Channel 9 News because they seem that Channel 9 and Channel 12 both have some awesome, awesome stuff when the weather's bad. And so it seemed like the house was getting ready to get pushed over into the ditch. I thought I would watch and see what was going on. And so I said, well, let's watch Channel 9 News. So Linda said, okay, and she turned it, and it was on Channel 7. Guess what we didn't see? Channel 9. That sounds so simple. So I said, well, let's try Channel 9. She goes, oh, yeah. There it is. You see, the channel, I wanted to hear Channel 9, but the thing was turned to Channel 7. Oh, y'all getting ready to hear something. Some of y'all in here right now should be listening to God, but your channel's turned to what Satan's telling you. You got your knob in the wrong direction. You're listening to the wrong voice. You're hearing the wrong thing. Satan is the destroyer. He is the accuser of the brethren. And his biggest thing is he deals with us. He deals in doubt. Oh, come on here. There you go. He deals in doubt. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people walking around with spiritual inferiority today. You don't think you're worthy. You don't think that God can use you. If the truth be known, none of us are worthy. None of us deserve what Christ done for us. How many deserve what Christ did, that cross? None of us. We put them there. So when Satan tries to tell you that you're not worthy and that, you know what, sometimes I just try to play a little mind. When he's playing mind games with me, I play mind games with him. He says, you're not worthy. You know, I tell him, you're right. But he did it anyway. He gave, but think of what you did yesterday. I said, you're right. But he took care of that when I did it and said, forgive me. Well, you had a bad attitude. Well, you got one now, bro. Talking to Satan, not y'all. Tell you something. We're not worthy, none of us. It's what God did for us. Don't let him get you in a spiritual inferiority complex. Amen? Amen. I love this. Look at this. You matter. You hear me? You matter. Your love. Look at those two little fellas. And I reckon they're fellas. I can't tell. Two babies. Thank you. I just studied that in my human communication class. Sometimes it's just better to say humans and babies instead of saying he and she. Amen. All right. So watch this. Here you go. He wants you thinking that you don't matter. Amen. He wants you thinking that you don't matter. Do not raise your hand, but how many in the last week have heard him tell you that you don't matter? Maybe, I'm getting down here now, maybe he didn't tell you through your mind, maybe he told you through someone else that he was using. And maybe, let's get even deeper, maybe he told you from a good-meaning, well-meaning Christian. And they might not have told you in this words, you don't matter, but by actions and by inferring it, they were telling you that you don't matter. Guess what? Every last one of us matters. And the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He's given every person in here potential. That potential to make a difference. Everybody in here, potential to make it. Somebody say, I make a difference. Somebody say it. Y'all got to do better than that. I make a difference. Now point to somebody and say, you make a difference. All right. We have potential. We have power. Power to carry out. And then there's position. The position is the power comes from above. Amen. It's not my power. It's not my power nor by might, but it's by His Spirit, says God. It's not me. I don't have it in me, but I've got a whole bunch in Him. Amen. And the Bible tells us very clearly, very distinctly, that all of us have been given the measure of faith. So let's just move a little further here. We're going to talk about lessons from Noah. Y'all ready for some lessons from Noah? I love this. Noah, 600 years old. I mean, can you imagine that God come at you and you're 600 years old? Some of y'all are looking at me kind of funny like, oh, do you think we'll be around by then? Well, the way things are going, we might be. Keep on coming with all these little mystery pills and all this new kind of thing for longevity. Do you know that you've already outlived your ancestors from a couple of decades ago by 10, 20 years? Okay, well, here we go. That's something else. Him, Shem, and Japheth. You can make a difference for your family. The Bible says that he prepared an ark and pulled his family. God said, get your family and bring them on board. Amen. When you get rid of the lie that you can't make a difference, when you get rid of the lie that you've been too bad, when you get rid of the lie that you can't do anything productive for God, when you get rid of those lies and start listening to God, guess what? Listen, not only are you going to make a difference for you, but here's Noah. He made a difference for his family. The Philippian jailer, the Bible says that he carried Paul and Silas to his house, and as he said, believe in us, or believe in God, and he said that you and your household shall be saved. So he brought them there, and they were all baptized in just a matter of a few hours. Let me tell you something. You may think that you're not doing anything, but you're making an impact. You know, I do a lot of reference into the PCDC, but there's PCDC and there's hospitals and there's nursing homes. And I sit back and I watch people in nursing homes and I watch them thinking, some of these people think they're too old to do any good. They're too old to help. And then I watch somebody that's old and they're in a nursing home and they're having problems themselves. As we're ministering, they walk over and push somebody else's wheelchair. Or they walk over and pick somebody's head up. Or they walk over and look in their face and smile at them and say, go ahead and sing. It's going to be okay. You see, even at that age, even with problems that they have of their own, they're making an impact. They're making a difference. So first, you can make an impact for your family. Also, you can make a difference for God's creation. The Bible says He didn't put them on there. God sent all those animals on the ark. Let me read something to you because there's been a big old controversy about how many animals he put on the ark or on the ark. Chapter 7. Now, here's your argument if you want to talk to somebody. Not argument, but your answer. Not an argument. You don't argue with people about the Bible. You don't argue. If you argue, you're not going to win them. Verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Wow. So where's just two by two? The clean ones take by sevens. Wow. You see, once he got there, he had to have sacrifice. Plus, he had to have meat. So watch this. By sevens of the clean, and by twos, by the unclean ones. But still, what he did was, he reached far beyond, and God used him. God used him. You know, why did he put his animals on board? Here it is again. He put the animals on board for a very powerful purpose. And that powerful purpose is that he used him to keep the seed alive. See, I'm on here. Some of you in here right now don't realize. You're thinking, what am I doing? What am I here for? Why am I even around? Let me tell you something. You're keeping the seed alive. You're making a difference. Don't let the devil tell you different. There's some powerful, powerful stuff. Here's the lesson. I'm trying to go ahead and get through them, so we can go ahead and pray. You can make a difference for future generations. You see, his sons took care of everything after him. His sons wound up populating the whole world. You see, there's a difference. Listen carefully. There's a difference between success and significance. There's a lot of people reaching for success. Once you reach for success, once you grab the ring, that's all you got is the ring. Think about Elvis. Think about Michael Jackson. Think about all these guys that had all this before them and all this money, and they were never satisfied. They were tore up because they had success. But look at Mother Teresa, Billy Graham. They have significance. There's a difference. One is reaching into themselves. The other is reaching out. And so watch this very carefully. Significance is shared by a few, or success is shared by a few, but significance is shared by many. I love this. You can have success without significance, but you cannot have significance without success. I have seen so many people. When I used to work at Fountain Power Boats, I got a chance to meet a lot of people. I got a chance to meet some very wealthy, wealthy people, people that could just reach out their wallet and buy a fountain boat. That was powerful, money-wise. But at the same time, I had, like I told you, I had one guy who had sold boats to Hulk Hogan and had all these celebrities and had pictures with him. He made mega bucks. And I walked by his office one day, and I walked by his office. He said, "David, do me a favor. I have never even met the guy. He just started work there. He was a vice president. I hadn't even met the guy yet." And I come in. He knew me, though. When I walked in the door, he said, "David, come here. Shut the door behind you. Sit down." I went, "Oh, no. Vice president calling me in here doing this with me." I said, "I don't know what in the world. I've never even met the man." And he said, "I heard you were a minister." I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I need some help." I said, "What?" And all of a sudden, he started laying his problems out. And after he got through, and he cried. He got right down and cried. And we prayed together. And after he cried, and we talked, and he prayed together, it amazed me. And I said, "You know what? He had all these pictures on the wall of all these celebrities. And he had all this money and drove the fancy cars and had the fancy clothes. But he was one of the most miserable men I'd ever met. I don't want success. I want significance." Amen. Success by itself is nothing. Significance is everything. That's what God is watching for in our life. And so, the next lesson. I'm trying to get through kind of quick. Amen. I said kind of quick. Did y'all hear that? I got to keep up with these little hinge words, kind of. Okay. One person who follows God can make a difference in the outcome of the whole world. One person who follows God can make a difference in the outcome of the whole world. That's what Noah did. God was going to destroy him. But Noah, instead, was just because of the way he lived. Amen? You see, you can make a difference for God. God was ready to wipe out man. Think about it. But God, listen, you know what Noah was? Noah was a mediator. Matter of fact, he's a picture of Christ in the last days. Moses himself, changed the direction of God. He come down off the mountain. The guys had taken all the gold and silver and made a golden calf. They were down there naked. They were dancing, having a hoot and holler time because Moses had been gone for 40 days. And so when Moses comes down, God says, "I'm going to just wipe them out." And Moses said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Do something for them, but don't do that." And he changed the direction of God. Mediator. Some of y'all right now are mediators and don't even realize it. Oh, look at there. He did sweet. Is that DC? Oh, that's Stephen. That's Stephen's baby picture. I didn't recognize him. He had hair. Okay. Stephen. You can make a difference at any age. Noah was 600 years old. No matter how old you are, it's not your age, but it's your attitude. Every time I think about this, I'm drawn back to the night I was working third shift. Anybody ever work third shift? You know you just get ill because you're ill. Okay, I'm working third shift. Back in the day when DC was a little baby, back in 81, 82, we didn't have all this stuff. We didn't have cable. We didn't have all this stuff everybody else has got now. And gospel music time only came on once a week on Monday night. One time. It was Monday night. It was after my first night of third. I was really just gripey and ill. And DC was in the floor playing, and all of a sudden his mama just said something. I don't even know what she said. She probably was fine with what she said, but I was so ill, I snapped at her. And when I snapped at her, she snapped back. And we started arguing. And we're going at it. And DC's only like, I think he was 16 months old. And he could talk back then at 16 months old, believe it or not. He was just, he'd been talking ever since. Look at him. He can talk right now. He can talk the ears off a telephone operator. Ready? DC stood up while we were arguing, a 16-month-old, and grabbed his mama by the hand, and he grabbed me by the hand, and he said, "Let's pray." And he put his head down and started saying, "Lord, touch these idiots." No, he didn't say that. He did. He said, "Lord, touch my mama and my daddy." Wow. 16 months old. You're never too young. You're never too old. God can use you always to make a difference. Amen? All right, hold on. History tells us that one person can make a difference. Listen to this. I bet some of y'all might already know this. Some of y'all... Oh. History never really says goodbye. History just says, I'll see you later. How many history buffs do we have in here? Yep. History never says goodbye. It just says, I'll see you later. Watch this. History says that one person can make a difference. Here it goes. Watch this. These are some well-known facts that are hidden. France became a republic and it came out of that monarchy because of one vote. The American Revolution, I praise God for this one person. The American Revolution, the national language, they were arguing, should it be English or should it be German? One vote brought it to English. Wow. Isn't that something? Adolf Hitler was put in office because of one vote. And later he killed him. I'll just play on. He may have, amen. But I don't want to tell you this too. You think that Hitler just killed the Jews? Hitler just didn't kill the Jews. You know how he started? How he started this? He killed all the people that were sick. He killed all the people that were born with birth defects. He killed all those that had mental diseases. Even his soldiers who had fought for him, when they come back, instead of taking care of them, if they had a long-term illness or injury, he killed them. Did you know that? So he killed a lot of his own people, not just the Jews. He killed his own people. Plus, he killed the Jews, trying to make the perfect race. So anybody didn't matter if they're a Jew or not, if they were not what he considered perfect, he killed them. My own personal experience proves that one person can make a difference. How about you? Think about it. Think about the time you talked to somebody that was getting ready to talk about they were going to do their self in, but because you talked to them, they changed their mind. Amen. Or somebody was going to do something really, really bad, but because you talked to them, it changed their mind. And some of y'all heard this story where I was at Fountain one day, and my boss man told me, come up to me, and he said, we're going up in engineering. And he said, I just want you to know something. I said, well, he said, don't be offended by what I'm getting ready to do. And I said, watch this. And he said, you know, we got two departments up here. There's your department, the other girl's department. I said, yeah. He said, well, that department's having problems. I said, I see it all the time. I see it. He said, well, I talked to the personnel director. She told me how to handle it. She told me to go up there and cuss all of y'all out. Cuss us out. He says, so don't be offended. I looked at him, and I just smiled. The meeting was at 2 o'clock. At about 10 minutes to 2, I stood at the bottom of the steps and just stood there. And I had a handwritten note in my hand. About 5 minutes to 2, my boss man came up. He looked at me, and he said, you ready? I said, I'm ready. And I handed him that note. I walked upstairs, and I was waiting to see what was going to happen. When we walked upstairs, instead of sitting over where he normally sit, he sat right beside me. When he sat right beside me, he said, now what's our problem here? And I was waiting for him to start cussing us out like he said he was going to do. I mean, he even told him, not just cuss, get up and jump. And he said, what's our problem here? And as he started talking, he said, Holt, one at a time. And as he started talking, he said, well, here's our solution right here. And he started going down the line. If you'll do this, and you do this, and you do this, he said, you'll see things get along a whole lot better. And that's after he got through, he took about 15, 20 minutes of nice, I mean, he actually mediated. And after he got through mediating, he sent them all out. And they were all smiling, had their arms around each other. And after everybody walked out, he looked over at me, and he said, how'd I do? I said, you did wonderful. And he handed me my note back. And he said, thank you so much. That note was, it can take a lifetime to earn respect and a matter of moments to lose it. Wow. One person can make a difference. Don't be afraid to stand out up for the truth, even if it means that you'll be standing alone. Amen? Get ready. Here it is. Don't be afraid to stand out in a crowd. Difference makers are different. Did you know that? Oh, come on. Difference makers are different. Anybody ever told you you're different? Oh, come on, y'all. Anybody ever tell you you're different? Guess what? If you're different, that's a good chance. You're a difference maker. You're not afraid to be different. You don't conform to everybody else's image. You don't play by the little, you don't play by all their little Mickey Mouse rules. You go ahead and do what you know God said do, and you do it. That's powerful. Amen. So look, don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Don't be afraid to be caught saying that you're different, because if you're not different, you're not a difference maker. All right. Don't be afraid to do something for the first time. The eagle, God has put something in an eagle that's different. The Bible says as the eagle stirs its nest, God will stir His people. Let me tell you what stirring means. Stirring don't mean that the eagle's up there with a spoon stirring the nest. Doesn't mean she's up there pushing everybody out. But when it's time to build that nest, she builds the nest with thorny pieces of wood. Thorny. Then she goes over the thorns with her own down and down from other animals. Then she will put leaves over that. And if she can get a hide, she'll put a hide over that. And so the baby eagles are just as comfy and cozy. It's so nice. And mama sees the eagles start growing, and now it's time for them to start getting out of the nest, to get out of the comfort zone. So in order to get out of the comfort zone, the mama eagle will take out that piece of hide. Now all of a sudden it's getting kind of uncomfortable because that hide's gone, and you can just barely feel some rough spots. So she's getting them unused to what they were used to. Some of y'all right in it, some of y'all right here right now. God's getting you unused to what you were used to. What used to be the standard is no longer the standard. And so then, by the time the baby's just finally get settled back in, she takes out the leaves. And now they're really starting to feel a pinch. And it's not between their cheek and their gum. They're trying to settle, but mama says it's time for you to fly. But they're trying to get back in there and settle in there because it feels so good. Mama bringing us food. We all up here. We're protected from the elements because mama lays on top of us. And mama says, no, it's time for you to fly. It's time for you to make a difference. It's time for you to get out and do something. And so they really can't get comfortable, but they can survive. And the mama says, okay, now's the big day. And she takes all of that down off of the thorns. And so now the eagles are on thorns. And it hurts. No matter which way they turn, it hurts. And so for the first time, they're going to have to step out of their comfort zone. They don't know if they're going to, when mama helps them go out, they don't know if they're going to hit the ground or what. So they go out, and as they go down, most of them can't fly. But as they go down, the Bible says that the mama swoops down and catches them on the back of her wings. And she takes them back up, and she puts them back and lets them try it again. The Bible says God will deliver us on the wings of eagles. He will capture us on the wings of eagles. We're trying and we're not getting along too good. It's not hurting. And God says, I got you. Don't stop trying. I remember when DC, because he was our first son, when he first started learning how to walk, when he took that first step, it was one step for mankind, one small step for mankind, and one big bump for his bottom. Because he went, oop, and he fell on his bottom. Did I go, get up? No. I said, that's awesome, son. That's awesome. Keep on trying. He'd take another step and fall. that I say, what are you doing? You're not listening to me. No. I said, come on, buddy. You can do this. Come on. And I did it over and over and over again until he could walk. And once he learned how to walk, then it was just... Don't be afraid to do something for the first time. You see, watch this. You might not know this. There had never been a boat before. How many knew that? Before Noah's Ark, there had never been a boat. Didn't need one. First time somebody built a boat. Why didn't they have a boat? It never rained. How many know that? It never rained. It never rained. Why had it never rained? Because this is creation science now. The house, the earth was in a greenhouse effect. And the Bible says that the water came up from the ground and came down from heaven in dew. So they had dew. That's how they got their water, was in dew. That's why people lived to be so old, because it had a high oxygen content. Because of high oxygen content, people healed real fast and people lived to be very old. And so because it's high oxygen content, all this was going on. After the flood, they've proven it, that the earth shifted on its axis. And when it shifted on its axis, that's when, if you'll watch, after the flood, people started living less and less and less years. So here's Noah building this great big boat the size of a football field. And then everybody's going to rain. And they go, what's rain? We never heard of it. God's going to let rain come down. You better be ready. Even after he got on the ship, for 7 days he was still on the ship. God closed the door on the seventh day, giving people grace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. You see, when you see a rainbow, you remember one person can make a difference. One person can. You know, I tell people all the time that, you know, I hear some of the craziest mess people talking about when Jesus is coming back and how he's coming back. And they got all the timetables and stuff. And I can just see God up there and Jesus talking and going, I would have come back to get him, but I can't figure these charts out. Am I supposed to come here, 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 here? I told somebody one day, they said, are you pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib? I said, I'm pre-trib. They said, well, I'm mid-trib. I said, glad to meet you. They said, how can you prove the Bible says it's pre-trib, which means before the tribulation, the rapture is going to take place? There's some people that believe that the rapture is going to take place mid-trib. There's some believe that it's going to take place after the tribulation. Some, or there's even one called a-trib, which means that it's not going to happen at all. So you're just going to be here and you're going to go right into the millennial reign. And so all these scientific, biblical theories. And somebody said, well, if you're pre-trib and I'm mid-trib, how are we going to know who's right? I said, it's going to be kind of obvious, isn't it? He said, well, I'm still mid-trib. I said, well, it don't matter if you're mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib, a-trib. I said, we can argue on the way up. I said, I just know I'm leaving this place. The world needs to see us building our ark right now, because something gets ready to happen that's never happened before, and that's the rapture of the church. The world needs to see us building that ark, getting ready for his coming. It's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. God's got us. DC, come on up here. Everybody stand. It amazes me. I see South Korea and in Russia said if we would be quiet, they wouldn't do what they're doing. Really? And Russia says that we just run our mouth too much. Really? That was a report this morning. Russia, the one that invaded other lands and told us to stay out of the way? Right. The Bible says in the last days, matter of fact, there's getting ready to come a battle that's going to have Russia and it's going to have China. Korea, all these are going to be in it. It's coming. Ezekiel tells us this. Some believe it's going to happen before the rapture. Some believe it's going to happen right after the rapture. Whichever way, we're on the prefaces of this. It's getting ready to take place any time. And when people are talking about this, now is the perfect time to tell them, you know what? It really does concern me. And it concerns me what's going on this earth. But it also lets me know that I'm getting ready to leave this place. And just start telling them about the rapture. Don't try to be mid-trib, post-trib, a-trib. Just say, you know what? Lord's getting ready to come back and take his saints. He's going to take us out of this mess. I ain't got to be here. And I thank God for that. And then live the life before them that they wanted. One person can make a difference. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I'm just gonna not try to embarrass you. I just want to know how to pray. But nobody looking around. Every head bowed. If you would tell me, Pastor, I'm in that lot that keeps hearing Satan beat me and tell me how I'm unworthy and how I can't make a difference, how what I've done is so bad and what I'm doing now can't be changed, and on and on and on and on and on. And I need help changing that channel. I just want to pray for you, but nobody looking around. Would you put up that hand and say, that's me. I need to learn how to change that channel. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I need to learn how to change that channel. I need to learn how to quiet down the opposition and listen to God, my Heavenly Father, who loves me. God loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, he'd have your picture on it. He loves you that much. God loves you. He says there's no sin, none, that he can't forgive. Thank you, Father. Touch these people right now in the name of Jesus. Let them know, Lord, that you have the power and the authority to grant them pardon, to give them power to do what they need to do, to make a difference in their family, make a difference on this earth, to make a difference on their jobs, to make a difference wherever they're at. Maybe you're here right now and you just feel like you're floundering. You feel like, God, I just don't know. I don't see. I don't understand. I don't know how I can be used. And you're needing God to shore you up and to shore you up and to show you. If I'm talking to you right now with no eyes open, nobody looking around, would you put that hand up and say, I just need God to give me some direction. I need God to show me. Would you put that hand up? I need God to let me know that everything's okay. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Show them that they can be used and that you will show them what they need to do, whether it be through a dream, whether it be through a message, whether it be just through life. You will show them. Now, if you need anything from God, wanted to raise your hand and didn't, or you just have another need, you just want to thank God, the altars are open. Come and pray. Won't you come and pray? Won't you come and pray? Won't you come and pray? Whatever your need is, if you need to talk to God, the altars are open. Come and pray. God is awesome and God is waiting for us. God is waiting for us to reach out to Him. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. God is waiting for us. God is waiting for us. God is awesome. Why don't you stretch forth your hands this way? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you're all powerful. You have everything under control. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, touch my sister from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. from the soles of her feet, Lord. Let her feel your power. Let her feel your anointing. Lift her up, strengthen her, encourage her, Father. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for this precious couple. Encourage them together as one. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 It will never, y'all sing it, lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Come on, sing it. I might not got the words right, but I'm close. And it flows to the lowest valley. Come on, help me sing it. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Tuesday nights, we're talking about communication. You want to be here. It's awesome. Go ahead, bro. It's a fur piece. Yeah. Oh, yes. It's going to take, it's going to take a couple hours. Well, I had the mosquitoes steal my hubcaps one time over there. It's awesome. Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. All hearts and minds clear? Look at somebody and tell me you're looking good. In the eyes of the Lord. God's awesome.
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord. We just thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, Lord. Because none of us deserve it. And Lord, we pray that we do make a difference, that we get outside these walls, that we tell other people about you, Lord, and bring them into the fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.